Well, Alex, you've convinced me. That song that Alex just sang is one filled with personal hope. I know my Redeemer lives. And it's a hope that all of us today in this auditorium can take advantage of through an act of personal faith in Jesus Christ, who has risen from the dead, who is alive today. And we need to accept that fact in order to be saved today. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church in Rome, affirmed these words, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you can walk out of here today, my friend, a changed person with great hope, by accepting Christ as Lord and believing in your heart that God has indeed raised him from the dead. John Orthberg is a pastor of Menlo Park Presbyterian Church in Menlo Park, California, and he was mentally reviewing the past year of trials and difficulties that people in general have gone through economically. And with the mortgage crisis and unemployment and other personal problems. And he wrote these words: I cannot think of an Easter in recent memory where there was a bigger need for hope, for something that would breathe life into the human spirit. A year ago, so many people felt like they were on pretty solid ground. Now they find themselves in circumstances they never would have predicted. A lot of people are feeling anxious. They have pressures that they did not have before. They regret decisions that they had made over the past year. They wonder where things will stand a year from now. Nobody ever wants a season of hard times to come. But when they do, they have a way of making you ask, what am I really counting on? Am I building my life on a foundation that's solid enough that circumstances beyond my control cannot take it away? That's why I've been looking forward to Easter, a time when we gather to remember our only hope. The only hope capable of sustaining human life through everything. People have not gathered for the past 2,000 years to say, the stock market has risen. It has risen indeed. They've not gathered to say, the dollar has risen. The dollar has risen indeed. Or that the unemployment rate has risen. Or that the gross domestic product has risen. Or that our retirement savings have risen. Here's the one hope that has held up human beings across every continent and culture for two millennia of difficult times of poverty, disease, pain, hardship, and death itself. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen and amen. You know, I came across an interesting statement recently that read, the world offers promises full of emptiness, but Easter offers emptiness full of promise. You know, I never would have related too much the word empty to this time of Easter, but when I stopped to think of it, we have the empty cross. We have the empty tomb, and we have the empty grave clothes, and they all point to great promises from God for those who trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. There are three things this morning that I want to look at that come as a result of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. And they're found in Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, and I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1 if you have your Bibles. If not, we are going to have that on the overhead in a moment. We first of all are going to look at the hope of his calling. We all need and we want hope. We're going to look at the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know, Christians have a wonderful future to look forward to. And we're going to look at the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. We can experience God's power to help through the great trials that we face in life. So Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. You can put that up, Rajan, if you have it there. The Apostle Paul, writing to the believers at Ephesus, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And the Lord is going to bless his word, because you know what? The Bible says that God exalts his word above his own wonderful name. The hope of his calling. You know, when we stop to think about it, Christ has called every person born to come and be saved. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And when it comes to taking advantage of the hope that is in Christ, the door today is open for everyone. The call has gone out to the whole world, but many today still refuse to answer that call. Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. You have been called this morning to come to the living Christ. Have you answered that call? You know, it's a choice that only you can make. And yet it's a choice that will give you lasting hope. It isn't hope in the sense that it might happen, but rather it is a hope that is a sure and lasting thing. It's a hope in Christ and his powerful resurrection that sustains us through the most difficult of circumstances. It sustains us when the news from the doctor isn't hopeful, when the boss tells us that our job is not going to be there on Monday morning. It is what strengthens us when a loved one passes into the arms of the Lord Jesus. The resurrection of Christ is what helps us get through each day's circumstances. As we consider the hope of our calling as Christians, we think of the future and what is in store for us. We are going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to reign with him forever. But the eye has not seen and the heart has not comprehended what great things that God has in store for those who love him. But the Lord Jesus said, in this world you have tribulation, but take courage because I have overcome the world. The Lord Jesus has overcome the world. And today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he indeed has overcome the world. Someone wrote, "There is a way in which Easter holds attraction for everyone. I think it is because Easter translates into hope. There's a sense of hopelessness that we as human beings have created. If you look at the world that we are in charge of, we have made a mess of it with bombs and terror and pollution. It's a world of hunger and violence and war, and there's lots of people who don't even think about these things but simply feel trapped by their routines and the circumstances of life. However, we gather here this morning on Easter Sunday. We gather to celebrate the fact that God, in raising Christ from the dead, is saying, there is still hope for mankind. There is still hope for individuals. The living Christ tells us that there is still hope. A man by the name of Thornton Wilde said, "Hope is a projection of the imagination, so is despair. Despair, all too readily, embraces the ills it foresees. Hope is an energy that arouses the mind to explore every possibility to combat them. In response to hope, the imagination is aroused to picture every possible issue, to try every door, to fit together the most heterogeneous pieces in the puzzle." Sometimes this is what Easter is for us. We stand and we look at our lives, and we look at our civilization, and it does look hopeless. It looks like a hopeless impossibility at times. And then Jesus of Nazareth, whom God raised up from the dead, stands and looks at our lives and says, "There's hope." An empty tomb is full of hope and promises. The hope of our calling. That isn't all. Then there's the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And there are two ways to look at this. It may be in reference to the fact that we as Christians are Christ's inheritance, and he looks upon us as an incomparable treasure this morning. And I think that's true. Or it may be in reference to the fact that we as believers are joint heirs in Christ. And all that Christ has is ours. And all that is true of Christ is going to be one day ours. And he will one day take over this world as the supreme ruler of everything. And every worldly ruler is going to bow in homage to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we as Christians are going to be right there ruling with him. Paul expressed these words about riches in Romans 11 very well. He really couldn't get his mind around it either, but he said this, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." Now, the amazing thing about this whole picture is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he had it all, he had everything, yet for our sakes, he became poor. He set aside the glories of heaven and all that was there, that we through his poverty might become rich. He became poor in the sense that he set it aside to come to the earth and die for us so that we would be rich with eternal life. William MacDonald said, if we really appreciate the wealth of the glory of all that he has in store for us, it will spoil us for the attractions and pleasures of this world. The riches of his inheritance in the saints. And then finally, we have the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. This is that the power that God engages to bring all of this to pass. F.B. Meyer expressed it very well. He said, it is power. It is great power. Nothing less will suffice. It is exceeding great power beyond the furthest cast of thought. To further magnify this power, Paul then references the greatest exhibition of power ever known to the world, or that ever will be known to the world. The power that raised up Jesus Christ from among the dead. And you say, well, didn't Jesus raise up Lazarus from the dead? Yes, he did. And so what makes Jesus' resurrection so great? It's because it's so unique. Because of the fact that the others that were raised died again. But Jesus Christ lives on today in an endless life, and he is able, because of that great resurrection, through our faith in him, to pass on to us the greatest gift that we could ever have, the gift of eternal life, and to spend an eternity in his presence with him forever. That's the love of God. That's the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes, he would become poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. That same power that was sufficient to raise Christ from the grave was also sufficient to seat him in the place of authority at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. He rules over all. He has dominion over all. He is our powerful, risen Lord who rules forever and ever. Amen and amen. The world offers promises, oftentimes full of emptiness. Easter offers emptiness that is full of promises. Today we want you to take advantage of Christ's promises. If you want hope, it is in Christ that you are going to find it. If you want glorious riches that include an everlasting inheritance with Christ, come to him this morning. If you want to experience power for living, come to the one who has all power, who lives today in the power of an endless life, and who has given to each one of us who are his Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to enable us to be able to live the kind of life that he wants us to live. Is it a perfect life that we live? No. We'll never live that this side of heaven, but we do have the Holy Spirit who enables us to move on to live a sanctified life. I know, and many of you in this auditorium this morning know, that our Redeemer lives. And we want you to experience this hope with us today. And as we sing these final two numbers that the team is going to come and lead us in today, I'm going to ask you, won't you make a commitment to Jesus Christ today? Won't you make that decision before you leave your seat this morning? Before you walk out of this auditorium, won't you give your life to Christ and know for certain that you are going to be with this one who is the resurrection and the life? May God grant it to be so. God bless you. Thank you.